mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 425. I'm Adam, and here's Kirby Bartlett-Sloan.
Here we are, 4 days from Earth on a spaceship with 3 billion and 3 frogs, and 4 Earthlings. Why?
Mary Lang.
Hello, you must be having a ball.
And Deborah Melrose.
Could anyone pass the sodium chloride, please?
Well, slightly delayed for the viewers. We haven't got any at the moment, which is quite ironic considering they were complaining about us being late. But basically, I was trying to watch the fourth. But I'll try and cut a long story short. Deb was at a bridal show this afternoon, which obviously requires all my computer equipment. And me cooking the dinner and getting us to eat the dinner and getting everything up and connected back up again. And then I thought, well, I've still got an episode of Doctor Who to watch. So I tried to watch the last episode. And then I was also watching the Spurs-Everton game. And then one of the Everton players had a horrendous injury in which his foot was turned 90 degrees from its normal angle. And it was all quite horrendous for the players who were finding it quite, you know, gory. I showed it to Isabella when she came home from badminton, and she thought it was quite interesting. It was quite gory, and I was just they sent off Son of Spurs, which was a bit harsh because he didn't mean to. No, I mean, it wasn't actually. He was basically made a challenge from behind, a booking challenge. The player then collided with another Spurs player, which then knocked his foot into a funny angle. The Spurs player who he collided with didn't get any punishment at all, and the Son, who did the initial challenge, got sent off. But he was already in tears before he sent off anyway, because obviously he's seen another fellow professional in a very bad way. But it was basically, I was just watching all that stuff, and then I realized, oh damn, I still haven't watched the rest of this episode of Doctor Who, and had to go back and rewatch bits. So there we go, that's my little story.
That's why we were delayed. You were catching
oh my
up.
God, I've just realized the Grand Prix is on. Hang on, I'll just turn.
Will you not do this again? You got totally distracted last week.
I don't care. Yeah. If Lewis Hamilton wins this one, it's the US Grand Prix, and if he wins it, he's champion.
Championi, championi,
ole, ole, ole. Right, where are we up? Lap two.
I wait until after we've recorded to watch it.
No, I'm watching it now, while we're recording. So, right, okay, sorry, it's on in the background. Yes, I've done two laps. It's in America, so two laps probably means they've got to go on the sidewalk or something like that to drive on the sidewalk or something weird. Oh, they're driving around in a funny direction as well. They're probably in the right-hand lane and not the left-hand lane. But then it's still a Grand Prix at the end of the... A cop has just pulled a car alongside one of them and got his gun out because one of the chaps in these Grand Prix cars is speeding. Oh, he shot him.
You're already distracted.
He shot him.
Anyway, sorry.
Right, Doctor Who. Yes, we are reviewing or looking at or watching and talking about Fall to Doomsday, which is Peter Davison's first recorded story, play the Doctor.
Lillian Robin has already posted like she's asleep.
Well, that's the sound of the cars going past. In fact, I can show you that now. If I get my remote off.
Just want to listen to your commentary on the Grand Prix.
I love the Grand Prix. La
see,
la la la.
Isn't it good? Right, I'll mute it.
La 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 la.
You, I don't know what's the word similar to Philistine in regards to sporting thingies.
Uncultured, probably.
Is it? Well, we'll have to have a bit of possibility of a British person winning a world thingy-jig after England lost the Rugby World Cup final, and Saints got stuffed 9-0 at home to Leicester. So I need something to celebrate this weekend.
Doctor Who?
That's not sport.
Yeah.
Although there's a certain amount of cricket involved in it. Right then. So Fall to Doomsday begins with a really weird-looking spaceship, which I think they're trying to make it look a little bit sort of cross between Star Wars and Red Dwarf.
It reminded me of Spaceballs.
Yeah, or Alien.
They were having during this period, because we're so close to Star Wars.
Which one, though? This must be close to the Return of the Jedi, surely.
Well, yes, but the BBC was trying to do a lot of boxy spaceships. because of the boxy spaceships from Star Wars.
Yes.
Instead of nice, sleek spaceships like we used to have.
Okay. Right, carry on talking, because I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to deduct points from all of you. Because I told you last time to make sure that I did an audio check on your audio before we started recording. So you've all got points deducted. And you're still not talking.
Okay.
All got points deducted for not reminding me. So there you go. Right.
Hang on a minute. Aren't I in charge of points this week?
No, you are not in charge of points this week. You might
Why
be in charge
not?
Of the quizzing, the quizzing points, yes. But as far as
to write down that even though I'm not in the quiz, I've lost a point. Okay.
Oh, you're doing it. You're doing
it. There 2 points now for being cheeky. Right then.
Which means we're all equal.
No.
No points.
Right then. Anyway, so we see a boxy spaceship, and then the Doctor is going. Oh, for God's sake!
The model is 6 feet long.
Couldn't you have said that last time when you were talking about the blooming boxy spaceship? I thought we'd come to the end of that particular part of the story.
No, you said that we're going to take a long time to review this one, so we are.
No, I didn't. right, so yeah, so Doctor is going to take Tegan, surprise, is going to be a theme for the rest of the series, back to Heathrow Airport.
What a surprise.
He ever makes it.
He does eventually, yes. That would be in time flight, Kirby.
Which I haven't seen.
I didn't know that.
Oh, don't be absurd. Time flight, it's in the blooming title. I suppose you don't know that Adra gets killed in Earthshock.
No, I do not.
Anyway, right. So, he's the Doctor's going to take Tegan back to the Heathrow Airport, but somehow ends up materialising on a spaceship. We know which spaceship that is because we've just seen a view of it from the outside. And Adric's hair is slightly different than it was in the previous story, and so is.
Hair is different Tegan's. Too.
Yeah, and he's very much, very, very much shorter. So there must have been a big gap between.
Is this the start of the first time you start fancying doctors? Because the ladies, one of the ladies' first comments is he has a lovely smile or something along those lines.
No, certain. I can guarantee you, Debbie, this is not the time I started fancying doctors. One of your more absurd suggestions. Anyway, right. I certainly had a thing with Janet Fielding at the time. I remember that. Yes?
Master? Yes. The Doctor's wandering out of the TARDIS into that room was the very first thing he filmed as a Doctor, and it was his 30th birthday.
Right, can I just tell you something, Kirby? I haven't got to that bit yet. I'm still in the console room. And if you hadn't interrupted about 15 times, we might have actually got to that bit. Right. So, the Doctor puts an absurd-looking helmet thing on and then goes out into this sort of part of the spaceship. And, you know, this is the first scene he ever actually shot as the Doctor, which is not entirely true, because the first scene he shot at the Doctor is when he sat up at the end of Legopolis. So Kirby's wrong. Anyway, right. So he's having a poke around, and he's being watched by this hovering ball.
Master?
Yes.
Much of the equipment on those benches are from the Leisure Hive.
Are they?
Yep.
Oh.
Including those cake bin things, the stacked circles.
Oh, yeah, I'm just turning you up because I reckon the listeners on the on live feed can't hear you. Oh, God, it's really low. No wonder they can't hear you. I'll probably get told off for turning you up, but I'm turning you up anyway. Right then. So where do we get up to? We got up to Kirby.
I can confirm what Kirby says, and he's going to be rushing in with all of this stuff because he wants to stamp on my ability to say them.
Mm. You notice I deliberately haven't asked him what he thought of Legopolis because I knew we'd probably be here till tomorrow. Who's third?
I was present for the Legopolis. I missed Castrovalva.
Oh, Castrovalva. I do apologise, Kirby. Point reinstated for me getting it wrong. Right then.
And I like Castrovalva. I think I said that the other time.
I wasn't asking you if you like, because I didn't want to.
I didn't
want to get embroiled into a long conversation about Anyway, right then. So Lillian Robin says zzz. Lillian Robin says zzz. Lillian Robin has an eye rolling emoji. And Laurie Nick says, hiya, sweeties.
Hi, sweetie.
Hello, sweeties.
So Adric is being a bit of a, I nearly said a rude word there in this episode.
He's a little bit of a, I guess he is, isn't he? He's an old so-and-so in this one. Yeah,
he's
hits his teenage years good and proper in this one.
He certainly has, and it reminds me of a state one of my work colleagues.
He's just a child.
He's only a boy.
Adric and Nissa are just children.
But he's very, very arrogant, and Nissa doesn't come across as a child, does she? To be fair, she comes across as being about 25 to me. Right, I'm trying to think. There's a comment that one of my work colleagues said. A little pipsqueak. I do quite like that.
That be the right pipsqueak. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. I haven't heard that for a while.
So like I say, he comes back. Oh, sorry. He comes back in after is surveying the little room.
Sorry.
What on earth was that?
Pinged a bottle that was left on the table from last night.
Laurie Nick says, when is Adric not a pain in the ass?
There you go, straight to the point.
He hasn't been up until now.
No, I've been certainly in the last season, he was actually quite bearable.
Yeah.
He wasn't too bad in Castrovalva, to be fair. But in this one, he was a right twerp.
This is where he kind of turns.
Yeah, good. Well, we'll see. See if it stays that way. But he's a twerp in this one. And yes, the doctor takes everybody else out into this little room, and then they have a little poke around. We're getting moving a bit now, so there's a lot of these sort of floating sort of CCTV cameras, which I think are quite cool.
Yeah.
Quite cool. And they're being watched by somebody. And then the doctor walks in.
By a giant frog.
The doctor walks in, and there's Jabba the Hutt. Just sat. Three Jabba the Hutts.
Did anybody else notice that his costume was really badly designed? Because he sat there with a very interesting thing on his green lap.
I noticed it. What is the interesting thing on his lap?
It looks like he's wearing something a bit more revealing, shall we say?
What, Stratford John's?
It looks something along the lines of a codpiece or something when he sat down. The way it's just he's got the pattern of his design of his dress is meant his robe is meant to be when he's standing, not sitting down, obviously.
Oh. Okay.
But yeah, I didn't notice that one.
I didn't get that, to be fair.
Also, his makeup keeps changing between various scenes because it had to be redone for all the 4 days of filming separately, and they didn't quite get it the same.
Okay. I'm interested, actually, the little panels that are in front of these three froggy things look quite similar to those little square bits that we've been referring to for the last, quite a few series now. Not saying they are, but they just look like them, but they've just been painted yellow and green.
Ah.
With black.
Sort of, yeah.
With black sort of gaps in between, and possibly, I don't know.
Wasn't it lucky that the two frogs managed to get out of their makeup, but Stratford John's had to stay in it?
Lillian Robin says, I like Adric for the most part, except in this one. Okay, we'll see what happens in the next one then. Right then. So the doctor comes in and they meet the froggies, and so does Tegan. And then for some reason, Adric's told to stay behind in the TARDIS.
I can't remember why. He's sent back, isn't he? Is it to get something?
Looks like he's playing some sort of platform game. By the
Oh no, he goes in to get something Nissa's asked for.
Yeah. Nissa is abducted by Bygone.
Yeah.
Then bygones be bygones.
I was hoping that nobody was coming to come at that stupid joke. And Debbie let me down badly, point deducted.
I found out that little thing that comes out of the TARDIS console with the keyboard on it was a carpet sweeper.
Was it? There you go.
Does anybody want the scores yet?
Scores of what?
Kirby minus 10.
I can tell you
10.
Who's third in the Grand Prix, if you like. Nice and sunny in America at the moment. Look, you can see it on the screen. It's very, very sunny. Sunny and hot.
But it's very cold, too.
How is it? Doesn't look cold.
We're in the 30s, the Fahrenheit.
Oof.
Ooh, lovely. Anyway, Adric comes out of the TARDIS because Nyssa has been abducted, and that Adric sort of comes out to try and find the doctor to tell him this. Meanwhile, Enlightenment.
Nyssa closes the door.
Heads through the spaceship by the doors opening. I like that. And the doctor's just like, well, come on then.
Yes. Anyway, Enlightenment and Persuasion decide they didn't really fancy having the frog makeup anymore. But we'll come to that in a minute. Anyway, so they all get together with Bygon and sort of meet a few of his little friends and the Aboriginal bloke who I'm not sure he actually is Aborigine. I suppose Kirby's going to say he is.
One of the four actors was. I'm not sure which one.
Okay. And they just meet some sort of stereotypical sort of ethnic people, shall we say.
And how does Tegan know one of the Aboriginal languages when he's from...
Yeah, because all Australians know how to speak Aboriginal languages.
Yeah, so it transpires, it's 32,000 years, doesn't it? And it's like, how's the language not evolved?
And yet he knows, I believe it was called Tiwi, this particular language.
Yeah.
Kirby. And she knows it too. Kirby. I mean, I could see that she may because of where she's from. But
Kirby.
Yeah, but all the other people on the ship speak English, so. Okay.
Yeah, why did we suddenly need to translate?
Excuse me. Points deductive for not listening.
Doesn't speak at all.
I was just about to explain, and you lot are not listening to me unless you can't hear me. Is it?
Who's talking?
Well, you're laughing, so obviously that clearly you can hear me. Points deducted across the board. Right. It was established before and since that the TARDIS has a translation facility that gets into the head. So they're just showing that because of the TARDIS, Tegan is able to speak all Aboriginal languages, and everybody else, to make it easier for everybody watching, sees it or hears it as English. Okay?
Okay, you're making that up.
No, I'm not. The TARDIS translates, and it translated for everybody, including Tegan. Anyway, right, moving on. So, like I say, Enlightenment and Persuasion come down in some very fetching green outfits.
Isn't it amazing why is Tegan not a professional illustrator instead of a airline steward?
You cynic, Kirby. Yeah. Why shouldn't she be able to draw?
Those drawings were so perfect.
Were they?
Yeah, it was pretty
Way out of any normal person's skill level, yeah.
The TARDIS was able to... Anyway, let's move on.
The all-purpose TARDIS.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. Anyway, right. Lorinic says she's a flight attendant. She knows all lingos. Yeah, very good point. Point for Laurie. Oh, she can't have one, can she?
Ding.
No, I can't give her a point. And she says, though I do kind of miss him once they introduce Turlo, talking about Adric, of course. Sorry, did you say something, Debbie?
I said you can give Lillian a point.
Oh.
Right, she's in the lead at the moment,
That was Laurie that said that. I'm sorry, I'm not giving Lillian a point on Laurie. Okay. Yeah, she said about the flight attendant thing, so point deduction for Debbie. Right then.
Join the quiz.
No, that's the point away why I wasn't going to give her a point. Do you get that? It's the point as to why.
Yes.
Oh, God. Right, where do we get up to?
Make your point, why don't you?
So they... the Doctor makes himself at home whilst the Monarch and his little sidekicks do some scheming. Looks like Hamilton's still in the Grand Prix at the moment, which is great news. There's lots of dialogue bits here. I do get rather excited, actually, to be fair, when the Doctor gets something that looks like a sonic screwdriver out. He's got something here that he's got out that jams the communication so they can't be listened to by Monarch and Enlightenment and Persuasion.
Yeah, isn't it the pencil?
Yeah.
It looks like a pencil, but it's not. It's like a sticky.
But it's Sonic.
It looks like the second Dr. Sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
Hmm. But anyway. But there is a point in which we do see his Sonic screwdriver. And I do, like I say, seeing the fifth Doctor with a Sonic screwdriver, which is obviously something that didn't happen for very long, I do find it quite nice.
Oh, really?
What do you mean, really?
The fifth Doctor is my least known era.
Yes, so we know this.
Okay, right.
So I don't know about...
He dies in Cage of Androzani after trying to save Perry.
I've seen Cage of Androzani.
I know! Oh, God, I'm going to hit myself over the head with this wand. I'm going to do it audibly over my microphone. Oh, that really hurt. Right then.
I didn't know... He loses the Sonic at some point?
I'm not going to say anything else. Yes.
Don't ruin it.
But I'm not being... you haven't seen it, have you? Yes, at some point, the Sonic... gets retired for a bit, same way K-9 did, and so many other things that John Nathan Turner didn't like. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
So the Doctor and who is it? Tegan are treated to a little bit of a sort of variety show.
Oh God!
Oh my God! How long did that have to go on for?
Oh my God!
I was rather distracted by Bygone's eyes, to be fair, because he had a bit of a sort of squint, didn't he? And I found it in some ways a bit sort of hypnotic, you know, because he was, when they did the close up on his face and stuff, it was really sort of I thought that worked really well. I know he didn't mean to, the actor, to have a squinty eyes or whatever, but it actually did work quite well in regards to his mysteriousness. Anyway, so yeah, it did go on a bit. You're right, this sort of variety show, because Nyssa and Adric were sort of faffing around doing, what are they doing? Oh, they went into the lab, didn't they? There was a mention, I forgot to mention about this, of a poison, wasn't there? That one grain of this poison is enough to...
One drop, wasn't it?
I think it was a grain, wasn't it? I thought it was a grain. Pardon?
I think it's a grain.
Yeah, and it was enough to kill or reduce somebody down to something or other.
To a grain of salt.
Grain of salt, that's it, yeah.
Master?
Yes, dear.
When the Doctor and Tegan first enter the recreation, the performance thing, they're up on the top level, and they pass behind several of the Greeks. At 11 minutes 38 seconds... The second Greek from the right is wearing trainers.
Notice that one.
Jeff Waddle says it's almost 42 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Later, when they move these same Greeks down to the lower level just because they didn't have enough actors to... put them in the upper and lower level, they noticed that he was wearing the wrong foot gear and replaced it.
I did forgot to mention that Bert Kwok is in this story.
Oh, yeah. Kato. Mm. Kato?
He was also in Tenko with
a
family member of the show, Louise Jameson.
Yay!
Well, actually, I don't know if she was still in Tenko then. Oh, of course she was, yeah, because he was the commander of the... The Japanese prison of war camp that she was at, wasn't she? Wasn't he?
Yes.
Bert Kwok was in hundreds of things through the years.
He's a stalwart British TV actor.
But I loved him in the Pink Panther movies.
He was, yeah. Good old Kato. there's lots of strange things going on. There's this, like, a lab where these people are getting... looking like they're getting operated on, because obviously we haven't quite discovered yet that these characters aren't actually flesh and blood.
Well,
until the end of episode two, we have this bizarre scene where Bygone just stands up and peels his chest apart and then flips his head up, where his head stays put. Well, it was really, really weird.
What I did like about that scene was the
BBC at the
when
time.
He got out hit what the sort of card that contains his personality. I thought that was quite you know, ahead of itself.
That's
in some way.
It's quite sad, that actually, that bit. When
could
you
actually
said
consider that a person's personality could be kept in such a small
just knowing that they've got the three nodes, and then there is like a slave caste that only has one. Isn't that mean?
God, I do hate this bloody thing. Right, I can hear you again now.
Can you?
Yeah. You can guess that I couldn't hear you, because for once I'd actually hear my spell speak. But yeah, so what were you saying about that scene where the...
I just thought it was very sad.
Sad?
Yeah, just there you go. There's me on three little nodes, and there's a slave caste that only has one. You know, it was such a sad image of the future. You know, it was just like, it was quite a thoughtful scene. I thought that was quite a good scene.
That's what I'm saying. It was a really good scene, and I quite like the fact that they considered that everything could be. I know that obviously they talked about silicon chips, didn't they? Because obviously they were the in thing at the beginning.
They were the thing of the time.
So they considered that silicon chips would be the things of the future. I'm not quite sure they are at the moment, are they? I think there are silicon chips.
Haven't
aren't
we they? Bypassed them already?
I'm not sure. Computer sort of memories and stuff. What they call it? The thing in the centre of the processor. Yeah, sorry, the thing at the centre of the motherboard. The processor. Now, isn't that a great big thing, a container of silicon chips? Kirby will know.
What? Oh. There's silicon is still used extensively.
Yeah.
Just a lot smaller.
Yeah. Or you can fit lot more on them.
That's what we were asking.
Them. Yes, you silly man.
That's what we were asking.
Yes. Bear in mind,
seeing these circuit boards that we're seeing all the time in 70s and 80s Doctor Who is just really silly, because no one uses circuit boards that are that huge anymore.
Yes, this is the point we're making about this particular scene, because it was such a small chip that was containing this man's personality, his soul in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which was quite a fascinating, you know, thingy. Anyway, so moving on. I quite like Vigan, actually, but even with his funny squinty eyes, he was quite a good character.
A lot of padding at the beginning of episode.
I thought he was quite thin.
At the beginning of episode three, they repeat like 2 minutes of the end of episode two.
Do they? Well, that seems to be the in thing at the moment, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm trying to get this forward, because it's...
At this time, they didn't have the, you know, the review of scenes from, you know, the previous week. This is how they did it, was to catch you up.
No, it was padding, Mary. It was just so because they wanted to fill out the episodes, they didn't have to go back.
Well, you know, today when you tune into an ongoing series, you know, they'll say, previously on, and then you get to see all these little cuts. They didn't do that then.
And at the end, when it comes to an advert, coming up.
Then
you get to the end of the advert, what you've just missed, even though you know you must have been watching the program. You know, it really irritates me that when they do that on programs. And the other thing, American programs, don't take offense to this, is, you know, especially reality programs, in the background, this constant drone of background music. And noticed that starting to creep into British programs now, British reality programs. This constant, there has to be some background music in them.
It's not necessary.
No, it's not. It's all right in a drama, but why does it have to be there in something that's showing something that's actually happening? I don't know. It's really, really annoying. And I would like to give an example of it happening in British programme. Oh, Love Island. Sorry to have to bring that up, but it is in Love Island. It's constant, because I think they must be sponsored by various music companies. They just play these records all the time in the background. And you can't hear the people speaking. Moving on to Doctor Who. So this is the point in episode three, where Adric becomes his most annoying.
Because
taken in by Monarch.
He's become full.
he literally stopped short of telling Nyssa in a very rude way to shut up. And then Nyssa, I think, tells him to shut up. And
then she knocks him out.
But it's quite disturbing in some ways, because, you know, he's supposed to love Nyssa, and you get that feeling there's a bit of a romantic sort of connection between, not necessarily reciprocated from her, but certainly from Adric to Nyssa. Not like a brother and a sister thing. I felt that there was a sort of, he really did fancy her. And yeah, he's suddenly taken in by this monarch thing, and he becomes an absolute idiot. And I'm just moving on because the doctor's now in the lab. Bert Kwok's character, he's really sort of on the side of Monarch at this stage. Nyssa is taken to be turned into a robot-y thing.
Master.
Oh, what now?
Nyssa is marched out of the control room by those two Greeks.
Yes.
And they don't have helmets. Then she's marched down the hallway, and they have helmets.
They got their helmets on, haven't they? Yeah.
And then when they get to the lab, they don't have helmets.
That's a terrific helmet. The big Trojan warrior.
I didn't spot that.
In the black, yeah, they're marching down the corridor in that. Maybe they put that scene in, but they didn't have the same Greeks.
No, anyway. It's the same actors. What happened was because they every night. This is filmed over 4 days. Every night, you notice all the sets look the same, sort of, but they have different configurations. Nice. So they did all of, like, the control room on the last day of filming, and they did all of the lab on a different day of filming, and so they had to coordinate, okay, what needs to be filmed which days, and they lost control of what people were wearing when.
That was a bit silly, wasn't it? You know, a lot of companies in those days used to use Polaroids to aid continuity.
Well, yeah, and they did do that sort of thing. They had people in charge of that sort of thing. But
fire them.
These guys, on the day they filmed that corridor, they had just been wearing the helmets and something else, and they simply forgot to take them off.
I see. Anyway, Ian Kirk says, Bert Kwok was in everything that time. At that time, Kwok around the clock. Laurie Nick says, gut punch the girl you like and run away. Anyway, yeah. So Nyssa is taken to be turned into a robot-y thing, and they stick her in this little cubicle with some sort of hair drying implement on. It actually looks like, you know, we used to have a program in Britain called Mr. and Mrs. Where they'd put somebody in a booth with a sort of headpiece thing on, and so they play music to them, and so they couldn't see or hear while their partner.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
It sort of reminded me a little bit of that. Moving on anyway. So Nyssa's in this cubicle, surrounded by Japanese people who are trying to
Supposed to be Chinese.
Are they?
They are Chinese, yes.
Although there was no whatever dynasty the doctor refers to.
Oh, sorry, I assume it was Japanese, because Bert Kwok is Japanese, no. Isn't he?
Yeah, he. But
they're supposed to be Chinese.
The character's name is Lin Futu, and is supposed to be Chinese.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Missed that one. Anyway, Adric and Tegan have a major row, and this is a really, really good scene, actually. Not liking Adric as a person in this particular story, but Matthew Waterhouse does play the scene very, very well, as does Janet Fielding. They have a real sort of physical argument, which results in Tegan pushing past Adric and Adric banging his head pathetically. So back in the, like this, they've got the, what's the place where they've grown all the plants and stuff? Because there's a frog in there.
The floral room.
That's right. And there's this little frog who's the most poisonous frog in the world. I'm not sure if the frog that in the video is that particular frog, but there is a really, really poisonous frog in the Amazon, isn't there?
There's loads of them.
Yeah, but there's one. Oh, is there?
That would be one of them.
Yeah. Oh, it would be one of them. Okay. So they show a little clip of that. And, so I'm just moving forward. Oh, yeah. Tegan, who's sort of grizzling because of her argument with Adric, goes into the TARDIS and presses
every single button.
Which is quite funny in some ways.
Ian is very, very
it's like
pathetic.
Well, it has to reset everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she got the door closing door one right, I suppose. That was quite a good going. But it's where she presses button and the little keyboard comes out and goes in and comes out and goes in, which is quite funny. But she's snivelling away while she's going around this thing. You know, obviously she doesn't want to be there. She wants to be back home on Earth, doesn't she? But you can feel that from her, that she's really stuck in a situation that she doesn't want to be in. But she's pressing every single button.
We wouldn't do the same thing if we were that desperate to get out of
it. I wouldn't be pressing all the buttons of a stranger.
No, I wouldn't either.
I would be. Yeah, I'd be trying everything I could.
She's probably watched the doctor do and think, well, this must be quite easy. But what gets me is that, obviously, this particular, and this is John Nathan's Turner era, the TARDIS is supposed to have this symbiotic thing where only the Doctor or a Time Lord can actually operate it successfully, but any all and sundry can actually manage to dematerialize it. I know it's a bit inconsistent, because I've got a funny feeling that Jamie did some time back accidentally dematerialize the TARDIS or something.
What if you remember in Castro Valva, Tegan thought she moved it, and
but it wasn't Tegan, it was the Master through Adric.
But I read that apparently the TARDIS is getting tired of Tegan pressing all these buttons, and that's why it moves.
Yeah, that's what I got as well, Kirby.
Can you stop fiddling?
Yeah, I mean, all these little things that the TARDIS does, you knowing, obviously, having watched subsequent stories of the TARDIS being alive, totally explains any of these sort of little quirks. Although having the Doctor sort of use the inertia from a cricket ball to get into the TARDIS while it's hovering outside the spaceship is a bit. Anyway, moving on. Laurie Nick says Tegan.
I've got things to say about that when we get to it.
Laurie Nick says Tegan is my spirit animal.
Yeah, that's pretty revealing.
Push all the buttons.
There's a point I forgot to mention this, that Bygon got the Doctor in private to tell him a few sort of special secrets about, you know, the fact that they're all hundreds of years old, and, you know, and
thousands.
None of them are flesh and blood. Anyway, so Adric wakes up holding his head. He's obviously got a bit of a headache. And eventually, after a lot of grizzling, Tegan manages to dematerialize the TARDIS. The TARDIS dematerializes the TARDIS. But at that time, Monica's decided... What's his name again? That chap? Persuasion has decided to persuade... Well, take Bygon to be switched off, and for the Doctor to have his head chopped off.
And that's when Adric suddenly realizes, hang on a minute.
No, he doesn't, though, at that point.
He does defend him.
He doesn't want the Doctor killed, but he doesn't know the Monarch is actually the one orchestrating it at this point, because Monarch's in another room. Because the Doctor, after this thing, basically tells Adric he's a stupid little boy and he needs to listen, and Monarch is not who he seems or what he seems to be. And because the next scene, in episode four, is them being taken to Monarch and being told some cock and bull while Tegan's in the TARDIS with the manual of the TARDIS.
Yeah. Kicking it around.
Yet in Castro Valva, it was all actually on a database on the console. So,
but we've seen this manual, the book form before. Remember when the fourth Doctor was tearing pages out of it in front of Romana?
Yeah, but what got me is that the TARDIS is supposed to be very, very old, and she's just got this book that says TARDIS Handbook Type 40.
Also, we had just seen in the previous story that it was on a database.
Yeah, and it doesn't look very old. It's just a bit silly, isn't it?
Well, she wasn't there when... Was she there when they saw it on the database?
Yeah, it was her and Lisa.
Okay.
They're looking it up, wasn't she?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
She's the one making.
Well, if she couldn't make anything else work,
how to get through it.
Maybe she couldn't call up the database either.
Anyway, I might actually play you the scene that I enjoyed. This is probably being that the Fifth Doctor's my favourite Doctor, this sort of rather illustrates why.
Now listen to me, you young idiot. You're not so much gullible as idealistic. I suppose it comes from your deprived, delinquent background.
That is a brilliant line.
Yeah.
I just love that scene, and that sort of knocked the Doctor home for me, watching him in that scene. Superb.
Well, this is the Doctor I really remember, so yeah. Having say stuff like that was like,
so yeah, he's basically putting Adric in his place and saying, look, I'm your dad at the moment. You do as you've been well told, you know. Love it. So then the Doctor goes about getting Kato on side. Sorry, Bert Kwok on side. I think they sort of rescue Bygone from his days.
Bygone
sort
of.
What?
I like the sort of.
And yep. Then they have to watch another
using
little...
a very cunning disguise of tiger dance. What? Or lion dance, sorry.
A very what?
Oh, Master.
I know what's happened again. Why does this stupid thing have a sleep time? Turn it on to an hour and a half. I shouldn't do that. Do it anymore.
Now, sorry, Debbie, I didn't hear what you said. I know the listeners would have done, but I didn't hear what you said.
Well, I said it was because of the very cunning use of the tiger dance. I bet it's a lion dance is what I meant.
It's a lion dance.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and did you notice during the whole section where everyone's dancing at once and the lion, one of the lions goes by and you can see the name of the... of the club, I believe it's a kung fu club or something that costume belonged to.
Kirby, you really had a lot of time to watch the tiny details, or was it?
I saw that the first time through, just about a week ago.
Oh, I didn't. I've watched it umpteen times. Wow. All right. So.
And also, now this is one I didn't know because I've never seen it, but when the Aborigines come out for their second set of dancing in episode 4, the didgeridoo music is the theme from David Attenborough's 1963 Quest Under Capricorn.
Oh, brilliant.
On a lighter note, Alan T. Butcher says, I think they got the names wrong. Enlightenment would have more easily persuaded me. Anyway, right, so back to the episode. So there's, again, they're watching more variety stuff going on. The Doctor sort of, because now Nyssa's gone a bit funny. She's sort of lying on her back now. Bygone's lying on his back. Bert Kwok is trying to sort everything out. Bygone wakes up.
Well, remember, Nyssa's being held hostage, so she's been sedated.
Okay. And then I think the TARDIS has materialised outside the spaceship, so Adric and the Doctor are going to go about trying to get it back. So the Doctor has this idea, because he can last how many minutes in space?
Six
minutes.
And that happens to be a question, guys, to save that for later.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, I thought it might be. So it can last 6 minutes, apparently, in below. Is it? How many? What's the temperature? You said, was it below zero? Is that?
Below zero.
Yeah. I can last longer than 6 minutes in below zero. I go in the freezer at work, and that's like minus 24. Oh, everyone's going to
vacuum of space.
That's not what he said, though. He said sub-zero temperatures.
He just talks temperature.
Yep. But anyway, but this reminds me of the fact. You have to watch this series. It's an American series called Star Trek Discovery, where Burnham does actually go into the vacuum of space and gets rather cold. But she doesn't get very long in the vacuum of space. But she does survive. Okay, no spoilers. Otherwise, if she died in the first series, it wouldn't be series 2, would there? Well, subsequently, series 3. Star Trek Discovery. Discover it.
I need to watch it one of these days.
What? You ever watched it? What's the matter with you?
Well, we can't get it.
You can't get it? What's the matter with you? I've got itchy nose.
You watch it, what, on Netflix?
It is on Netflix, yes, but they try and make out in this country that it's a Netflix production.
And we don't get it.
To watch it here, we have to subscribe to CBS Unlimited or something like that.
I'll tell you what.
It's an extra class.
Yeah, apparently, Series 1 of Discovery is going to be on Channel 4 very, very soon. So come over to Britain and you can watch it. Right, so the Doctor gets this very orange rope and launches himself into space.
He comes back how many times?
I don't know, but Adric's holding up a magnifying glass. What's the magnifying glass for again?
Oh, it's to stop something with one of the monopticons.
Monopticons.
Yeah, you reflect it back so it spins the monopticon spin round.
Well,
yeah,
actually, what it does is freezing it in place.
Anyway.
Okay.
Because to spin it would clue the guy in, clue Big Frogman in on the fact that in, where they are.
Oh, I see. Anyway, while Adric is doing this,
in place means it's not. It just isn't seeing them.
Oh, okay. But while Adric is doing that, Persuasion comes in and tries to shoot and misses. I think.
Oh, no, you've got the other guy first.
But then Adric tries shooting.
Basically, the first one, the guy comes out first, then Adric manages to, you know, the doctor flies back in and they manage to get rid of his chip. And then he goes flying back out and then Enlightenment comes in and it all starts again.
Anyway, but Adric tries shooting him and the ray just goes straight through him and he just walks really slowly. The doctor spots this going on and pulls himself back into the spaceship. And then Nyssa comes in, I believe. And is it Nyssa? Somebody comes in and... Oh, no, sorry, that's how the doctor survived having his head chopped off, wasn't it? Nyssa sort of did something to the chip in the bloke's neck. The doctor comes and has a wrestle with...
she didn't do it to his neck, it's in his hand.
Okay, all right, in his hand, thank you. God's sake, why did I say neck? I'm getting decompopulated by you lot.
You're watching the Grand Prix, now stop it.
I'm not watching the Grand Prix, although there's been a few developments since I last looked at it.
Maybe we should have the 20 megabyte Grand Prix podcast instead of Doctor Who.
I'm trying to do Doctor Who. You keep interrupting me. Anyway, the Doctor pulls a chip out and Persuasion freezes. And then he launches himself back towards the TARDIS. And then Enlightenment comes in and starts pulling him back.
By the way, Master.
Oh, God. Yes.
The weightless
scenes.
She doesn't
pull him back.
Well, she looks like on the video I'm watching.
Peter Davison is kind of lying on a trolley on his stomach to do his swimming through space.
Okay. So anyway, then...
Yeah, she doesn't pull him back. She undoes it and throws
him.
Then the CCTV gets shot out. Sorry that other... Yeah, she undoes it. I'm so sorry I got that bit wrong. You lot are talking left, right and centre. I can't concentrate. I can't even hear myself
think. Turn off the Grand Prix.
I'm not. I mean, watching the Grand Prix. I haven't got time. Although there have been another development since I last looked at it. Right, so it's quite funny because you've got Bert Kwok and all the others watching it as if they're watching something interesting on the telly. So the Doctor's now not got a tether anymore, so he comes up with this brilliant plan while he's running out of his last bits of his Time Lord ability to survive the vacuum of space, bounces the cricket ball off the side of a knobbly spaceship, so it could have gone anywhere, but luckily for him,
it came back to him.
Straight back to him. And the inertia, wait, Kirby, the inertia from that cricket ball apparently was able to push him perfectly back towards the TARDIS door. Fan science fiction, fantasy TV at its very science fiction fantasy. But not necessarily physical possibilities.
In the first place, it should have sent him backwards.
Yeah, I thought it did a little bit.
A little bit, but no, it should have the energy involved in throwing it that he eventually gets when it bounces off should have all been there in the very first throw. I mean, conservation of energy and everything.
Okay, well, it didn't. This is Doctor Who. Anyway, so he throws a ball, catches it, and he pushes him back towards the TARDIS. And it's quite funny to see all the people cheering, hooray! Because they're all watching the telly. And he's able to get back into the TARDIS. There must be some sort of force field, because none of the vacuum of space actually got into the TARDIS console room when he came.
How many times in modern Doctor Who have we seen them have those doors wide open?
Yeah.
He could have gone in. There was that point where Adric left the door open.
Force field.
Monarch could have just walked in. Instead, he went chasing after them.
The Doctor materialises the TARDIS back in the place, and Monarch sort of wades through the celebrating crowds.
Shrunk.
Yeah, sort of.
It's supposed to be a gas, a really, really dangerous gas, and they're organic, and that should be enough to like destroy the whole world. But only he gets it.
Yeah.
Well, the Doctor steps out of the TARDIS, and runs out of the diner, sorry, and then lies down for a couple of seconds. What's that for?
He can't breathe. They've turned off the breathing. Apparently, he's going to hold his breath and go into a trance, but he doesn't. He pants really loudly.
I know, he keeps gasping. He says,
like he did in Terror of the Zygons. Is that the sort of trance?
Yeah, they're doing the Terror of the Zygons thing,
but all he does is lay there gasping
away. Yeah, and well, but what fixes the helmet?
Anyway, well, he does sort the doctor out though, so that's all right then. And then there's basically what happens. He throws something at Monarch, and he shrinks to. I'm trying to watch what happens in the scene.
Yeah, but all the other organic life forms should have also shrunk.
Oh, yes.
Of course they should. Yeah. Anyway.
This is science fiction.
But are there any apart from the Doctor, Nyssa, and Tegan, and Adric?
Organic forms. They're all synthetic.
But Nyssa, it's
supposed to destroy the world's population of organic creatures, and yet it just does him.
Yeah, it didn't do anything to the Doctor, Nyssa, and Tegan. They must have, because with the special science fiction fantasy TV stuff, they must have done something to them in the lab to prevent them from contracting or being affected by it.
Or maybe it's because they're wearing the helmets.
Oh, Kirby, I think you'd get a point for Kirby, because that's the best theory I've had heard for the last 2 minutes. We're going to go over that one.
You're now a minus one.
Jeff Waddle says, there's that devil doll from Terror of the Autons lying in the front door. What?
Front of the door.
No, it's a fox. They're talking about there's a behind me. Oh God, the picture on my live feed is frozen with a shot that makes it look like I'm picking my nose when I'm actually scratching it. No, behind me over there is it's a doorstop, but it's a fox. And then Laurinx sort of replying to Jeff Waddle with a cool emoji face. Okay, I will get the fox in a minute, just to show you it is indeed a fox lying next to my daughter's badminton racket. Anyway, so after Monarch is shrunk to something very small, they all sort of go back into the TARDIS, and then Nyssa faints because she hasn't been contracted to do the next story. And that is for to Doomsday. Right, I'm going to say, obviously, there are aspects of this story that aren't very good. I think we've sort of taken the mickey out of it quite a lot over the last, three quarters of an hour. But Peter Davison, as the Doctor, was exceptionally good and sort of hammered home my sort of liking of him as the Doctor. Adric, on the other hand, sort of starting to become a little bit of an oik. And as an oily tick. No, I can't remember. It was one of those. Loving Tegan, because I was totally in love with Tegan as a teenager whilst this was on. I was 15. And I wasn't overly taken with the lovely Sarah Sutton, who I've met, and she is lovely. But as a story, it wasn't that great. It was okay. It was a sort of meh story, you know, one of those sort of middling stories. But it was just nice to get into a fifth Doctor story which didn't involve him recovering from regeneration. He was just being the Doctor. It actually had the possibilities of being a very, very good story. It was just, I love the idea that they had of having all these sort of people as sort of machines, basically. They had all their personalities on chips and stuff like that. It was really, really good. I think the three main baddies in it had the potential to be really, really good. I don't think they achieved that particularly well, although Stafford Johns was very good and he was quite menacing. I did love that scene when we all knew he was a baddie and quite evil, but he totally fooled Adric, and the way he changed the tone of his voice during those sort of that scene where he was talking to Adric was really good. But it's difficult. I like it because it's the fifth Doctor, and I don't watch this story very often, but I recognise that it's not that good. So I'd be very interested to hear. Is this the first time you've seen this, Kirby?
Yes.
I'd be very interested to hear, Kirby, what you thought of it while I go and fetch the doorstop fox.
Okay, I had seen like the first few minutes of it several times and just couldn't get into it. So I sat down last week and started watching it. I've now watched it twice, and it's not bad. There's too much dancing.
Way too much dancing.
But I liked a lot of the concepts. What was it, 2 weeks ago when you guys were referring to frogs, I had no idea that the baddies were actually going to be frogs. But it's not the best story that I've seen, but it's not bad. And I like Peter Davison's take on the Doctor, since this is his very first time he's done the Doctor.
Correct.
And he's good. I'm finding, Adric was irritating, but I think that was, hopefully, I think that's just his character. I'm not against Matthew Waterhouse yet. I don't know if I will be. And I found Tegan to be really irritating.
Oh, is that ever stopped?
Yeah, I mean, just her complaining is just too much.
Well, she doesn't want to be there, Kirby. Which makes it quite clear.
And she's scared and she's panicky.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Point for Mary.
Mary's now on zero.
Is that it, Kirby?
That's it.
We had a moment of silence then, which was very unusual for you. Right then, Debbie, what did you think? Oh, have you seen it before, by the way, before we go?
No, I haven't. No,
excellent. This is a very unusual situation.
I probably did, but obviously I can't remember the first time I watched it that well. So some of it did seem very familiar. I think the dancing definitely struck a chord, because I was like, I've seen this before, and obviously I have. So that's obviously stayed in there somewhere. I enjoyed it, but I felt it was too padded. With the dancing, especially when we actually went and did it again in the last episode, I was like, we're not doing this again, because almost the entirety of episode two was devoted to the dancing and things like that. And so it wasn't quite as long as that, but I felt they could have probably done this in three episodes rather than padding it out with the dancing. I mean, it was nice. Obviously, they were showing the cultural thing there. It does feel like the Peter Davison era, they try and bring back the educating kids about the past thing. Yeah. It does feel like that they sort of stepped away from that and then they brought it back. So that was really interesting, because it was all the facts about when these people were alive and all the dates that were being thrown at them as well.
Except the Mayans were not at the time that was being bandied around as the year when they were talking about what years they were back coming back to Earth.
I know, but at the time, this is what was thought.
Yeah, okay, I'm just being pedantic. That's my job.
It's absolutely fine. I wondered if you would. And basically, I liked the story. Obviously, I did feel it just got dragged out too long, because I thought the use of the corridors this time was brilliant. And the way that the little balls were just leading them a merry dance. And I did like the whole idea that... Of Tegan being just so scared that she just went in. But unlike me, if I was in that sort of situation, I wouldn't have touched any buttons. I wouldn't have fiddled. I would have gone in and gone, I'm not touching that with a barge pole, but I'm going to stay in here because nobody can get through here. And that would have been probably me in her situation, or I would have just gone off and explored. I don't know. And I did like the use of the hints that you got that he was, that Monarch was actually still, a flesh in his flesh time. Because of the fact that he always switched on the life support wherever he was going. And that was there through the whole story right up until the end. So you knew something was up. And the fact that they had oxygen on board anyway, that sort of thing. Because they wouldn't have needed it at all if he wasn't in his flesh time. And I like that. And I gave you a lot of food for thought, definitely. I am waffling. I do apologize. But I liked it, but it was just too much padding with the dancing. Kill the dancing. I know they used it to move the plot along and being able to talk under the cover of enlightenment, not enlightenment, sorry, persuasion, just staring grimly at them, even though they're obviously talking about other things and he's just watching them. They're waving at him while the entertainment's going on. But I did find that it was just all the actors got their own bit to chew, and I love Peter Davidson. He was terrific as the Doctor. I thought he nailed it. But yeah, when we started going into space, it really did make me think of River Song flying through to the TARDIS in Matt Smith's era. You know, it was very reminiscent. You know, that was obviously very reminiscent of this. But yeah, it was just that whole bit with the cricket ball was just, yeah, kids were probably cheering their heads off while adults were going, nah. So yeah, it did what it was supposed to do. And so yeah, I liked it, but please less dancing.
Laura Nick says, I used to find Tegan irritating, but as I've gotten older, I totally understand where she's coming from. And then frogs, always dubious in Doctor Who. See last season. And then and she also said, this story would have been better if Tegan punched more buttons.
Oh, yes. More cowbell.
More what?
Cowbell solo.
Right then, listeners, this is the moment you've been waiting for. By the way, Mary, have you seen this story before?
Oh, yes. I've seen most of the Doctor.
Okay. In that case, it'll still be interesting. I don't think we've done Four to Doomsday before. Otherwise, Kirby would have told me that he's seen it before and said, so this is a new thing. Mary's take on Four to Doomsday.
Well, to pick up on a couple things Deb brought up, I would say that this is a 3-episode story with lots of time for musical interludes to stretch it out. Yes. And that's what I remember most from watching this was all these interminable dancing scenes. If they could just cut them out, we'd have a decent story.
Absolutely.
And on another thing that Deb said, this did remind me more of a First Doctor story than a latter-day Doctor Who thing. This whole thing of arriving, being presented to the leader of another, civilization, everybody giving long paragraphs of exposition about, oh, these are our people, and this is what we do, and we're with the Doctor, and the way Adric stands there and talks all about, oh, the TARDIS this and that, and the Doctor's got two hearts. And I mean, he's just kind of, you know, vomiting up all this stuff, Rassilon and everything. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, are we trying to educate the public? Is this Doctor Who 101 on all things that we already know about the Doctor? Catching up people maybe who hadn't watched it before? I don't know, but lots and lots of just general information. And that educational aspect, I felt like Deb said, you know, like I was being educated in other cultures and learning to respect, you know, their dances. I don't know.
So, yeah, sort of a bit of, just learning a bit of their ethnic culture, because they did do what they were, you know, their dances were native, of the time.
That's felt too, yeah. And also having companions, particularly one that wants to go back to Earth. You know, the First Doctor had that too. So this really did feel like a First Doctor episode. And some things that I wonder about, like at the end, I mean, the Doctor is sending the ship back to Nubaku. I say, what happens to the ship with the 3 billion, what are they, Ubakans, in microchip form? I mean, what's going to happen to them and the androids that are on board there if they know that the ship is going back to a planet that is totally destroyed, which we, you know, learned about earlier? They're not going to want to go there. So, I mean,
Bygon actually says that they're going to look for another planet.
Yeah, Bygon says they're going to deal with things. It's not the Doctor's.
Okay, but I don't know that they want to bring those Ubakans, you know, the 3 billion of them.
Stay in the drawer of punishment.
Back to life, yeah. So, okay, so that's kind of their lives all hanging in the balance there that the Doctor doesn't seem to care about. And something else, I think it was brought up a little bit earlier, that the Monarch, who wants so badly to get into the TARDIS to look around, mm-hmm. has a perfect opportunity.
Absolutely.
In the fourth episode, when they arrive in the TARDIS and everybody vacates the TARDIS and runs away with the door standing full open, and Monarch is standing there looking at it, but then he turns and runs off. He goes to the throne room, and I'm thinking, this is your chance. This is your chance.
You've been wanting to get in here, and Adric leaves the door open, looks at him, leaves the door open, and
and he goes away. He doesn't go in there. Yeah, not a favorite story of the fifth Doctor story. And the fifth is my favorite Doctor. That's why I've seen most of his stories. But this is not one of them. I think it drags on too long. And I think Peter Davison does a great job. And I've loved Tegan from the very beginning. I don't find Adric that annoying. I find a lot of his attitude during this is because he's just, as the Doctor says, he's young and kind of stupid and doesn't know, you know, what he's doing. So I didn't mind any of that. Sarah Sutton, for some reason, has always bothered me. She always seems so sweet and so retiring and so really not a part of the season. But, of course, now I know why, because they thought she was going to be killed off in this episode. But because she had a lot of other commitments that she had committed to. But Peter Davison hit it off with her right at the beginning when they started filming and all that. So he persuaded Nathan Turner to make some deals with her to kind of keep her there. But that's why we don't see much of her for at least the rest of this season.
Well, no spoilers there, of course. Thank you very much, Mary. Thank you. Right then, I was just sort of just twiddling around on the computer in the background while you were talking, Mary. I was listening. And I was just looking. I wanted to get Kirby up on the screen, and I put in Kirby, and it came up with Kirby Bartlett Sloan and a chap called Kirby Sloan, who lived in Cave City, Kentucky. It's very interesting, isn't it?
Where'd you put this?
In Facebook. I was just put to Facebook search. I put Kirby Bartlett Sloan, and it came out with Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Don't know who he is, but another chap called Kirby Sloan.
Because I've been in Cave City. Maybe it's just... Oh,
it's
that's
not
interesting.
The same chap.
That's weird.
We got three little beagles. Talking of beagles, Alicia's got a beagle. A beagle puppy called Nala.
Nala, cool. I was
going to
ask what the name was.
N-A-L-A. I thought it was Narla, as in Snarla, because I used to call my dog Snarlers because they snarl a lot.
Usually. But Nala is in Nala, the mum of Simba?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know.
That's very strange. I'm looking at his stuff now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's
look
at these hits online for Mr. Sloan's Facebook account. He's into motorbikes and stuff. Interesting, isn't it, Kirby? You might be related. You have to do some sort of ancestry DNA thing. Back to the podcast. Yes?
Yeah. Well, my parts of my family, but it's the Kirby part. Yeah, I'm named after my mother. It's a maiden name. That part is from Kentucky.
Oh, my God. Hang on. We're going to have to play one of these. Isn't that interesting, Deb?
The clothes are not from that area. Oh, I've got a pair of pictures I could post sometime. My parents had their honeymoon at Mammoth Cave, and my wife and I also had our honeymoon at Mammoth Cave. Hmm. But a few years later, I managed to get a hold of a picture of my parents in front of the cottage they stayed in, and the cottage still exists, or at least it existed about 10 years ago, and I got a picture of it.
Excellent. Right, back to the, don't think I'm not interested. I just feel that I should steer us back to the normal
goings-on. No, you need to go and watch the Grand Prix some more.
No, I'm watching. No, I was watching it while you were talking. There's been a few more developments. 15 laps to go. Could end up being, if things go as they are now, I'll be quite happy at the end of the race. Right then. it's always nice to for a certain thing to happen on American soil, because apparently there's another big race in America, something Indianapolis, something or other. Yeah. It's time for a bit of feedback. Now, did you anybody post on the 20 megabyte page
a
request for feedback?
Did
we actually get any?
I don't know.
I didn't think we did, you know.
And there's comments on it.
Well, that essentially is feedback, or is it comments that aren't feedback?
Well, yeah, Jeff sort of did some feedback on it, and Billy.
Oh, go on then, Kirby. You can enlighten us. I'm gonna reach into one of my boxes to the right because I'm feeling a little bit on the peckish side.
What are you going for? A 12 Snicker? What?
How do you know I've got Snickers?
You told us last week.
Snickers. Ah. Yeah.
You tell us off for rustling, right? Point deducted.
It's not my fault it's rustling.
There you go, point deducted.
I accept that point.
Minus two.
I accept that deducted point with glee while I munch on this Snickers bar. Come on, Kirby.
I couldn't, you were rustling.
Yeah.
Jeff says, another to add to the list of 80s stories I've never watched. Unfortunately, I somehow saw episode one, and it took me years of intensive psychotherapy to recover. Billy responds, Jeff, you know... Nout? N-O-W-T. This story was among the three stories, Legopolis, Castrovalle, and Forge of Doomsday, in the winter of 81-82 of my first revisit to the UK after being uprooted from my beloved Lanx to Oz 3 years prior. I've endured ECT, psychotherapy, CBT, and many other psychological interventions due to the trauma of deportation to the colonies. I love frogs. Jeff then says, three awful stories in a row. You've done well to make it this far. Ian says he has computer problems and posted his script, so I don't know if
dare read that.
No, I'm not. So he must have actually done it. Lillian says a very strange story, not one I rewatch much. Then she asks, is there a time issue waiting for the live feed? Mary told her 15 minutes delay. And she says, oh, okay, thanks. And then I posted a picture of the Kung Fu Club's name on the lion.
Marvelous. Right. What are we up to? Right then, Kirby. Have a listen to this. Oh, I'll press the wrong button. There we go. Right. Check your inbox while I finish this Snickers bar.
Oh, no, not me.
Oh, well, nice for a change.
Oh, let me see if I can make this bigger. There's got to be a way of making this.
No, you just got to read it.
It's just what I can't say, that's what she said, with a mouthful of Snickers.
Oh, yeah, I found a way of making it larger.
That's what she said.
Good going.
Are we ready?
That's what she said.
Aren't we going to be choking to death live on the podcast?
Let bygones be bygones, or downsizing monarchy.
Sorry.
20 megabiters. Forge of Doomsday is, of course, a closely studied exploration of multiculturalism and how it is not achieved by trying to enforce an underlying uniformity whilst maintaining a superficial presentation of celebrating differences. There must, in fact, be a deep-seated acceptance and the maintenance of intrinsic differences whilst choosing to coexist cooperatively. As such, the Urbankans represent the tendency to enforce that underlying uniformity, having adopted a digital existence rejecting their analog origins in the flesh time.
Wow.
The androids do, however, end up reasserting their indigenous cultural qualities despite the process they had undergone to denude them of these traits. They still managed to cooperate in the rejection of a monarch whose inherent hypocrisy at having preserved his own flesh time has by then been exposed. Thankfully, his codpiece stays in place, even though his flesh time is exposed, especially after Tegan showed off her tiwi earlier on.
Showed off her what?
That's the language that she was speaking. It should be noted that while some change the story with being a little stagey, mundane, and uneventful, it is, however, a very good-looking and solid example of early 80s studio-bound television, which entertain millions without having to look naturalistic any more than a theater audience needs to think they're in the real locations depicted. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
We also learned that Detective Inspector Barlow from I'm going to pronounce this the way that it reads to me. It'll be wrong. Newtown, Lancashire.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fun.
Point for Gurley.
Made his way softly to Urbanka after developing a nasty skin rash, which worked out well for him as he became the ruler of that planet, which he successfully evacuated when the sun exploded and collapsed into a black hole, and he made plans to move back home before being brought down to size by the doctor. All in all, Four to Doomsday is a well-executed, low-impact tale which gets over the lack of demonstrating key elements of the plot by utilizing some very good sets and some extremely good actors to paper over the cracks. Davison plays the Doctor as if he's never played it before. The writer succeeds in using pretty much all the key players to a reasonable degree, which at this point was an accomplishment in itself. Philip Locke and Stratford Johns deliver deadly earnest performances which lift the story up to the level of its own sets. The story is perhaps one episode too short, as if Doomsday had come, we would have missed it ending on episode 4, so it spoiled the fact that Doomsday would be canceled. Next up, Doctor Who and the Liver Bird, or How
Liver
Not to
Mend People with a Very... Liver Bird. Doctor Who and the Liver Bird. Nearest
yeah,
users in the Liver Birds.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Or How Not to Mend People with a Very Pretentious Plot. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan. Now, a Liver Bird is...
Nice one, Kirby.
There's a building in Liverpool called the Liver...
Building.
Is it the Liver House? Or
Liver
the...
Building.
Yeah. On the top of a Liver Building are two birds called the Liver Birds. And there was a comedy series in the 1970s called the Liver Birds, based in Liverpool.
Did it have the Nurse Gladys in it?
Eh?
Yeah, Open All Hours.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that Nurse Hughes' mum in the Liver Birds?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so Liver Birds was... Nurse Hughes was in Torchwood and Doctor Who. Gwen's
Kinda,
mum?
Kinda is a complete unknown to me, so...
Yeah, well, she's in Kinda, but I'm saying she's also been in Torchwood. She played...
Who is?
Nerys Hughes. She played Gwen's mum in Torchwood.
She did.
Now, there was some brilliant Torchwood, series 1 and 2. And one of my favourite stories, actually, is the one that she's in. As a wedding, isn't there?
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah.
She plays... Gwen's mum. Anyway, right back to feedback. Sorry, we were doing feedback. I just got slightly distracted.
And I warned Kirby that if he watches Kinda, it will still be an unknown to him.
10 laps to go, and it's still in a very favourable situation. So we're going to What?
Never mind. When we discuss when we're going to be recording next time, I'll ask a question.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah. That wasn't particularly meant for a comedy effect. I just clicked on the wrong jingle.
Hello, Clinton McMuck Podcast. You're on Earthlings. Four to Doomsday by Terence Dudley. The four TARDIS crew spend 4 days on an Urbankan spaceship over 4 episodes. There are 4 Earth cultures on board. For Pete's sake... Pete who? The chap with the salary on his lapel. This story might have set a record for the most padding. They have several instances of minutes-long cultural performances. How many times could their bankers bear to watch that stuff over thousands of years? Adric is made navigator of the TARDIS, and that works out about as well as you might expect. Monarch is keen to win over Adric, so he can use him to get the people up to respect him. However, he plans to kill everyone before he lands, so that is a bit odd.
Hmm.
Once again in science fiction, we have aliens wanting to take Earth's resources. Stupid.
Hmm.
The asteroid belt is much more convenient. Tegan's aunt was struck by being shrunk. Now Monarch wants to do that to the rest of Earth. Nyssa and Tegan get captured, or run off, so he can spend more time with Adric. Ah well, at least he gets shouted at. Nyssa becomes ill in this story. This is because the script for the next story, Kinder, had already been written, and she was not in it.
Mm.
Bye for now.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ian. That's Ian Kirk, everyone.
Thank you, Ian.
Yay.
We got through feedback, though I don't know how. And then we've got to go for me, because I really didn't take in episode 4 much, because I was a bit busy watching stuff that was to my left. Injuries to Spurs, sorry, to Everton players and stuff like that, so I didn't take in. So my chances in this quiz are quite slim. However, it is now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Oh, was that it? I thought Deb was going to take over at this point.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. At the moment, Mary and Kirby are on 0 and Adam is on -1. Do you want me to make that just level pegging?
I think that's a bit harsh, to be fair, but yeah, go on now. Carry on.
Well, they earned theirs back. You kept giving them back, so there you go.
I think it would be fair if somebody gave me a point back, but there you go.
Every episode, and they've been co-written by Ina, so go easy on us.
What are we doing? Who's going to?
Right, Mary. Who do you think is going to win?
I think Kirby.
Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Huh? Me?
You? Who do you think is going to win?
Mary.
And Adam, who do you think is going to win?
Mary.
Okay, Mary, who do you think is going to lose?
Don't say that in such a disappointed voice. Well, the only other choice I have is
Adam.
Adam.
Kirby, who do you think? Kirby, you think Adam. Okay, and Adam, you think Kirby's going to lose then?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
You're going to be right for that.
Hey. You have got jokers to play, so don't forget that. We start with Mary.
Come on. Bring out the little thing to remind me. There.
You've got a thing to remind you to play your joker.
and it had a solid clunk sound.
Yeah, it's a
piece of wood.
Well, all I need to remind me to play my joker is a picture of Kirby on my desktop. Let's put that there.
it has two things written on it. It has Joker, and it has Goodbye Fancy Pants.
I forgot. You need to remind yourself to say that. That's something you've been saying for the last 300 episodes.
This has existed since the days that you came up with the Joker. How many years ago was that?
What's that got to do with Goodbye Fancy Pants, though?
Well, I made this around the time I decided to use that as my sign-off. I'm really considering changing that.
Get on with it.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
What is there enough time for Tegan to do?
I know.
I don't know.
Okay, Kirby?
Time for a cup of tea.
That's right.
That sounds nice. I like the sound of that.
Okay, and Kirby, this is your question.
Mistress?
What has Adric never known the Doctor to do?
I don't know.
Anyone?
Nope. Not for me personally. I mean, Mary might know.
Nope.
Okay. The Adric has never known the Doctor to hurry anything.
No.
Adam, what is Nyssa fascinated by and what does it do?
I feel... inclined to give the answers that Ben would give in these situations, something smutty. I don't actually know the answer, so pass it over.
Who knows the answer? 2 points in the bag.
2 points? How come it was only one for me?
I said it was one, but it was one and then one. You get the two.
Oh, okay.
I would have given you a bonus if you got it right, but you didn't. So there you go. What is Nyssa fascinated by, and what does it do?
I'll make a guess at what it is.
Okay.
The resonant stroboscope.
That's right.
But I don't remember what it does.
Resonates.
Okay.
It's in the name, but I don't remember.
Increases density to reduce matter.
There.
Mhm. Okay, so we've now got four questions in the bonus pot. Okay, who played, and then remember to say I know, who played Kokuji?
No, I know. Bert Kwok.
No.
Oh, that's the only one I knew from that anyway, so.
Anyone else?
Nope.
Okay, so Ilario Bisi-Pedro.
Oh, obviously.
his name just
rolls off your tongue, doesn't it, Kirby?
Okay, this is for Mary. Mary, what does Adric go to get for Nyssa?
Thick ear. Sorry, carry on.
What does Adric get?
Been warned.
I don't know.
Anyone?
A tissue.
The time curve circuits.
Oh, yes, of course.
Kirby, this is for you.
Mistress.
What galaxy are the Abantans from?
Kiklos.
No.
Can I make a guess? It's going to be wrong, but...
Okay.
Andromeda?
Nope.
Worth it a guess,
is RA148.
Oh, yes, of course, that's what I meant to say.
I thought someone would have had that one down.
How did you miss that one?
I know, I was like, that's a typical question, that one. Okay, so Adam,
yeah.
What does Adric want on his avocado pear?
I know.
I don't know. Gold
okay.
star.
Kirby, you know?
Sodium chloride, please.
Right. That was my quote. Okay, there are now 9 questions in this bonus pot.
Ooh, nine questions.
9 points. And it's a very easy bonus question.
Oh, yes.
This was one of the other ones. So, who directed?
I know.
Oh, I know.
Adam got in first, I'm afraid.
Still a guess. Fiona Cumming.
No.
No, I know. Yeah, Fiona did the last one.
What happens if the second person knows the bonus pot? Do they win it all, Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mary, what's your answer?
John Black.
Yay! Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Should have played your joker, Mary.
8, 9.
I should have, yeah. I don't have a block of wood, so I guess I'm at a disadvantage.
That's what she
okay,
said.
Okay, right. Well, Mary, this is your actual question. What is the dominant emotion on planet Earth?
I'll play my joker in that one.
Yep.
It's fear.
Lovely. 4 points. Ding.
Sorry.
How many of their people have they saved? Literally saved.
How many billions was that?
Oh, I remember.
Yes.
I do remember. Joker.
Oh,
yeah.
3 billion.
Yay. Well done, Kirby.
This is part of the story I was watching as well.
You.
Yes.
How many generations ago did Bigon last see his family, or Bygon last see his family? How many generations?
I haven't got a Scooby-Doo. I'm going to guess. 25,000.
I know.
No. Okay, Kirby, you know?
100.
Yep, 100 generations. Ding.
No.
Okay, there's 1 point in the bonus pot. Quite an easy one. What role is Bert Kwok most famous
I
for?
Know.
Go on then, Adam.
Joker. Kato.
Brilliant.
I wanted to play my Joker for the sake of playing the Joker.
You've played your Joker.
I might not get any more points
Kirby.
In the whole blooming thing. So.
Right, at the moment, I'll let you know the scores. I'm afraid, Adam, you are in last place with 1.
What a surprise.
Kirby Yay. Is in second place with 7, and Mary is in the lead Yay. With 14.
Ooh.
Wow.
See, I'm exactly where I want to be.
Oh, you, honestly. Mary, this is for you.
Okay.
What is the greatest intellectual galvanizer?
Wow, I don't know.
Anyone?
I think I might know.
Okay.
Doubt.
Yes.
No? Okay.
Kirby, this question is for you. Mrs. How many days are they away from Earth?
That's easy. I'd play my Joker if I still had one. It's the name of the title of the story. Oh, four.
No. Yeah, I didn't write all the questions.
Oh, no.
4 days.
Adam, this is your question.
Oh, okay.
Where is the only organic life on board?
Well, that would be in the throne room.
No.
Right. No. I know.
Okay, Kirby.
The flora chamber.
That's it. The flora chamber.
The flora chamber. Oh, look at this. Lap 54 of 56.
Ooh. We better stop and let the race finish.
No, you carry on. I might turn it up because I want to, when it gets to the end, I want to see the outcome. But carry on.
Two are left in the bone. Two in the bonus pot.
Yes.
What is absolutely essential for good government? Anyone?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Class system. So there's now 4 points in the bonus pot.
Yes.
Mary. Mm-hmm. What is the greatest tyranny in the universe, according to Monarch?
No, I don't know.
Nor do I.
Anyone?
No, not
I me. Might know.
Go on in.
Then?
Organs.
I'll give you that. It's external and internal organs. There we go.
Sorry, carry on. It's...
We're playing a quiz and you're watching.
I'm turning the volume down, but it's the last lap. Carry on.
Right. Kirby, this is your question.
Mistress?
What does Monarch want from Earth?
Oh, I know.
Resources.
No, I need you to be more specific.
Don't know.
Okay. Oh, I think I know.
Okay, Mary?
Hang on, I said I know.
Oh.
I can't hear you over the
TV. I didn't hear it.
You got a TV going there.
So it doesn't count.
So I say silicon.
That's one of them.
Oh.
I can give you a 0.5 unless you you know what the next one was that he wants as well.
I don't remember the other one.
Okay, the other one is carbon.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Okay. So whose question's that?
That was Mary's, wasn't it?
I don't know. You're supposed to keep track of that.
that was the bonus.
Oh, bonus.
That was mine.
That was yours, actually, Kirby. Yeah, that was yours. Okay, Adam, this is yours. Monarch believes himself to be what?
God.
Yes.
Ooh, good.
You still got your Joker to play. You haven't played it yet.
I have played it.
No, Mary.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You're too busy watching the telly.
Yeah, but no, it's the last lap.
I did play my Joker.
She did play a Joker.
Yeah. I think we all have now, haven't we?
Yeah, we all have played our Jokers.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got bonus pot. It's got 5.5 in it. What fertilizes the floral chamber?
I know.
What's that then, Adam?
That would be when they take the personalities out of the people, they use the people as fertilizers.
That's right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Bing.
You know something? That doesn't make sense because they're only visiting Earth every few thousand years. So what are they using in between to fertilize?
It's a science fiction fantasy.
Perfect comedy pause.
All the time.
That was okay. The pause, Mary. There, Debbie. You should get a point for that because that was a perfect comedy pause you left between that comment and you said.
I'm on minus two now. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay. There's a few questions left. Sorry, bad writing. I'm normally quite neat, but not this time. Mary.
Yes.
What does persuasion confiscate from the Doctor? If you can remember two of the bits, then you'll get 2 points.
I know one of them.
Oh,
I know both of them.
There's more than two.
Oh, no. Whatever. Yeah.
Mary?
String.
Yep.
And, oh, my gosh, the... and the spyglass.
That's right.
Okay.
Can you name any of the others?
Spyglass,
but... The sonic screwdriver got confiscated, didn't it?
Well, he took that from Nyssa.
Yeah. But this is what he took from from the Doctor.
Oh, fair
he
enough.
Took
oh,
the, also
the
he
cricket
took,
ball as well.
He also took the cricket ball, yes. But yeah. that was Mary's got the 2 points there. Okay.
Lewis Hamilton wins his 6th FIA Formula One Drivers' Championship.
Thanks for ruining the Grand Prix.
Oh, don't be absurd. You don't know what position he finished in, though, do you? I thought you weren't interested.
Okay,
don't be ridiculous.
Okay, Kirby, this is your away. Question.
Mistress.
What does Tegan learn too late?
I don't know.
Anyone else?
No.
To leave well alone.
Yeah.
A bit late to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm doing better than I thought I did. I'm quite excited. Carry on.
Adam, this is your question. What was a prime disadvantage of the flesh time?
The flesh time?
I know.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to guess, but it's got to be that you're susceptible to disease or, you know, that being...
No, sorry.
Oh, I know.
Mary, what is it?
Thinking you can go back in time.
Nope. Not
I know, that. But it's too late.
Tiredness.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Bonus spot has 4 points in it, and you know we could go anyway this way. So what? Okay, we discussed this quite heavily. This question, but it's still a bonus question. What can the Doctor do to reduce the need of oxygen? Apparently,
I know.
Go on then.
Or we can go into that trance thing.
And... Yeah, the panting trance. <Yeah.
laughs> Trance he never goes into. Yeah.
Okay, this is the last round, Mary. Yes. What is the dance display extravaganza referred to as?
Pass.
Mrs. Mary.
I know, I'm passing, so you know you don't have to come to me.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I know.
What is it?
It's the recreational.
Recreational.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go, Kirby.
Okay, Kirby, this is your question.
Mistress.
Which hatch is the Doctor to use?
I don't know.
Anyone else?
Starsky? No.
Hatch 9. Huh. Adam, this is your question.
Oh, hatch, not hutch. Sorry.
These are very very easy ones now. How long can the Doctor last in sub-zero temperatures?
6 minutes comes to mind.
And this is the last question. Free for all. There are 3 points in the bonus pot. It could go either way with it. What happens to Nyssa at the end?
I know.
Oh, I know.
Adam got there, sorry.
I know, too.
She pathetically fainted.
Yeah, I didn't have pathetically written down, but yes.
Doctor!
Oh, Doctor.
Yeah. I am on the
commission. She starts every sentence with, Doctor! In Doctor Who.
I have other commission.
She wasn't written into the story, that's why.
Oh, Doctor!
which I didn't know.
Change the title of the program.
I haven't seen Kinder.
Mm. Okay, right. So it's 5, 10, 15, 17.5. Oh, my God. We have a tie. Okay, Kirby is last with 13 points. Oh, hang on a minute. I'm last with 13, with minus 2. Laurie is next in fourth place with plus 1. Kirby is third with 13. But Mary and Adam tie with 17.5.
Uh-oh.
So it's now
17.5.
You've got 0.5s. Remember
I
said there was a certain
first
number.
First time ever
yes,
in the history of you won't get this one. And someone got half a point.
We've got half points. So it all bears
come down to is, oh yeah, who we pick to win and lose.
Yeah, Mary picked Kirby to win. Nope. And Adam last, which is a nope. Kirby picked Mary to win, so takes him up to 26, and Adam last, which didn't happen, and Adam picked Mary to win, so that's now 35, and Kirby last, so winning on 70 points this week is Adam.
Wow, okay.
At least with 26 points and Mary with 17.5. Doesn't feel fair to me.
I feel I should do a lap of honour.
Yeah, you probably should.
I believe that's the first time Adam has ever won the quiz.
Shut up, Kirby. therefore, that concludes this week's edition of You're in Get This One. I feel like Lewis Hamilton. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was just watching some stuff to my left. It's really interesting. And I do apologise for spoiling. I haven't spoiled the complete thing, as I thought that it was quite inevitable what was going to happen in the World Championship as a whole. But to see it happen is quite good, and nobody knows how it happened. Sorry, Debbie. Oh, it's gone very quiet again.
Sorry?
Sorry about my excitement. I didn't know you were interested. I thought you lot hated sports, so I just... Anyway, right, Laura Nick says, nom nom nom, is that Halloween candy? I think he said Halloween handy. I will show her. No, it's not Halloween. I just have a supply of chocolate. I have Twirl, Picnic, Snickers, and I've got a couple of Mars bars, which I don't really like.
Are you saving it for the next FantasyCon?
There's only three left of the Mars bars, so it's highly unlikely. But I have got Halloween handy. Here, I'll tell you into a little story. It is now apparently law that if you want to partake in the trick-or-treat tradition brought in by the Americans, you have to have a pumpkin on your doorstep. I haven't got time to stick a pumpkin on my doorstep.
Yes, it has to be a lit pumpkin on your doorstep, which signifies to the British public that you are open to someone coming and knocking on the door very politely and ask for tricks or treats.
Yes, but it wasn't in place last year.
Sorry?
It wasn't in place last year.
Oh, no, it's become a thing to keep kids safe. It's a safeguard.
Well, somebody should have told me that. So I was waiting and I bought some special Halloween candy from Marks and Spencer. They're basically dragon's eggs. So I'll just put them up to the camera. Dragon's eggs. But they're not dragon's eggs. They're actually Marks and Spencer's version of the Cadbury's mini eggs. And I think, I haven't tried them yet.
Save some for me.
Yeah, no, they're in a bowl here. I'm going to try. Deb likes them. Oh, God.
I like them.
Have you tried them?
How many times have we gotten told off because we rustle things, and yet can rustle things, I guess, because you're boss.
You lost your rag one week with one of us who would rustle it. I think it was Andy, but you really lost your rag about it.
I just say, this is relevant because Lauren Nick said, nom, 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 is that Halloween candy? So I'm just answering her question. Sadly, not my fault. They put it in a rustly packet.
But you're still rustling.
No, not having it. You're not taking away my glory of winning the quiz. Sorry.
Did anyone see I posted a picture, not on 20 megabyte, but in my regular Facebook, it's actually a little video of a pumpkin that my oldest daughter, Fred, carved in the shape of the cat bus.
I like that. That was lovely.
I can't say I saw that.
We did not put it out on the front porch on Halloween because we stopped handing out candy years ago.
Why is yours the scary house, Kirby? Mine was where I used to live. Nobody would venture down our really dark hole.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah.
We used to give it out all the time, but then the girls got too old, and they didn't want to give it out. I didn't want to give it out, and so we just don't do it anymore.
You don't even leave a bowl on the veranda?
Nope.
Oh, pardon me.
Nope.
Fair enough.
My neighborhood has gone through the changes enough that hardly anybody put – we just do porch lights. We don't do lighted pumpkins. And so when people look down into our neighborhood, they see like three lights in 20 houses, so they don't even bother.
Yeah, our neighborhood's Facebook group actually said that they had more trick-or-treaters this year than we've had in 15 years.
Anyway, won't be to do any trick-or-treating next year because it is on the same day as FantasyCon.
So yes, I'm going to have to move my Halloween bus.
You lot can do it. Oh, we won't be able to because I'll be packing up. You lot will be home. So you better do it.
I'll be with you.
I'll be packing up.
I helped pack up before. I'll help pack up again.
Were you involved in that CCTV shenanigans?
I was. I was the one that shouted down the van to stop them and tell them to bring.
Oh, yeah, you were, weren't you? Sorry, Deb. Sorry.
Yes, it was me.
Sorry, Deb.
Sorry. If things work out, hopefully I'll be there too.
I'll be there. Love and comfort you. Anyway, can we move on? Doctor Who news.
I love that song.
Doctor Who at Childhood's End. What is this? It's a first novel from Sophie Aldred, the friend of the show. Actually, no, she's more family member of the show now. She's been on twice. She played the Seventh Doctor's companion, Ace, and it's to be published on the 6th of February 2020. What did you say?
I said, really?
What are you saying it like that for?
You were telling us she played Ace.
Oh, you're being sarcastic. Sorry, I should get my Leonard Hofstadter thing, which is... Hang on, I'll go and get my Leonard Hofstadter. I've knocked anything off my shelf by doing this, Kirby. You're in serious trouble. But this is my... Oh, God, it's got a bit dusty. This is my Leonard Hofstadter Funko Pop. Can you see it? You probably can't, because you're probably not watching the live feed.
No, I'm not watching the live feed.
His robe, and he's got a little thing in his hand that says sarcasm. It's one of my favourite Funko Pops. I'm putting it back on the shelf now.
Yeah, the live feed for me, it lags behind by...
Does it? Oh, you'll get to see it one day. Right then. Anyway, so yes, Sophie Aldred has written a novel, and it's called At Childhood's End. It's a Doctor Who story. And it does feature Ryan, Graham and Yaz. So it's a... Yes. So good. I wonder if I should ask her if she'd like to come on the show and talk about it.
That would be great if you could.
I'll ask her, see what she says. Right. Does anybody know her real name?
No.
I do.
I have it somewhere.
Oh, dear. Right, I'm going to ask her now. Hi, Sophie. Kirby says...
Don't you dare bring me
in. Kirby says, what's your real name?
You have a novel coming out. There's a comma. I noticed that with some of Alan's pennings. Is that the word for it?
Yeah, penning.
It seems to lack punctuation from time to time, which makes it very interesting to read.
Well, I'm wondering if he dictates.
What do you mean?
Sometimes the way the spelling is, sometimes it's almost like, obviously, you've got predictive always getting in the way, and when you're in full flow, you don't always notice that. But I'm wondering if he dictates sometimes. Do you dictate, Alan? Please let us know.
So I'm just finishing the thing. Oh, it's come onto the podcast to talk about it. ?
Did you ask how she was? You know, opened with a pleasantry.
Yeah, I did. Said, hi, Sophie. Sure, that's going to be enough. It's me, for goodness sake. Right then, where are we? So, yes, At Childhood's End by Sophie Aldred. Coming soon, the unofficial master annual of a new fan production celebrating the Doctor's greatest enemy, the Master, is planned by Terraqueous Distributors. I've got a burp coming and I can't stop
Terraqueous. It. Terraqueous? That's a cool name.
Terraqueous Distributors.
Yeah, there's this thing called a mute button.
Did you hear it? I tried to stifle it. Did you hear it?
I heard it, yeah.
Oh, I do apologise. If I'd known it was going to be audible, I would have pressed the mute button, Kirby. Sorry about that.
Definitely heard it.
I burped into my mouth. I didn't think you could hear that. Anyway, right. Sorry. God.
I just like
I'm
the
getting
one
picked
Kirby
on today, aren't I? I'm going to go sulk in the other room and watch episode one of Stranger Things again. Sorry about the rustling. I'll tip these out of my desk, right? I'm tipping all these little dragon's eggs onto my desk. There you go. It's not going to make any rustling noises anymore.
Yeah, it started today. I'm going to catch up with it tomorrow with Tom.
I can't wait to see that. I hope they did a better job than the Golden Compass movie.
Oh, God, I hope so,
What are you talking about?
His Dark Materials started today.
No. I think it's a bit of a copycat. It's a cross between Harry Potter and Stranger Things.
Have you read it?
No, it isn't.
Reddit. Isn't it funny you say Reddit on a story that incorporated frogs?
Have you never read it? Because that's totally not what you think it read is.
Read it? No, I haven't. It does look very good, though. Where I've got Tom. When is it on?
Universe.
When is it on, Deb?
It was on at 8 o'clock tonight. But
we should have recorded it, shouldn't we? I might have to record it. I'm sorry. Yeah, the sort of thing Isabella would watch, actually.
Anyway. In between Doctor Who's.
You're stalling it. Back to Doctor Who.
I'm not.
Yeah, the unofficial master album. Sadly for our current era that we're reviewing, it's the Roger Delgado master on the cover. Right. Next bit. Fury from the Deep animated teaser reveal.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that.
Mm. There's no point really on an audio presentation me playing the animated teaser. No. But, yeah, I need to buy that. I also need to buy the Macro Terror, which hasn't come out. I mean, it has been out for a while. And I haven't watched yet. Edge of Time, a new feature-length VR video. Oh, we've done that last week. I'm not going to talk about it again.
Yeah.
That's Doctor Who News.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Still in the dark as to what's going to happen during Children's Need, apart from Jodie Whittaker singing.
When is
Children's Need? It's something with Coldplay, isn't she?
So, it's the... I thought they were splitting up. I've heard that Coldplay is splitting up.
I had no idea.
But it's usually the... penultimate week of November. Anyway, whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Nah.
God. New Adventures of Bernice Summerfield 4, Ruler of the Universe. New Adventures of Bernice Summerfield 5, Buried Memories. Scent of Blood, it's a 8th Doctor story. Brand new audio adventure for the 8th Doctor featuring
Dan
Starkey.
Who's in that one?
It's actually... Well, it's read by Dan Starkey, so it's an audio novel, but only an hour and 5 minutes, so it can't be very long. Flight of the Sun God by Nev Fountain. And it's, again, Nicola Bryant reads a story. And then the 2020 Doctor Who Annual. Latest products. What's coming soon? Eighth Doctor Ravenous 4. Have I just done that? Early Adventures 6.1 Home Guard. Early Adventures 6.2 Daughter of Gods. Of the gods. Big Finish are bringing out, and the BBC for that matter, are bringing out lots and lots of audio stuff. I haven't, these days, I don't get the chance to listen to audio.
Renaissance, isn't it?
Doctor Who audio books, you know. I haven't actually had a chance to listen to some for about, over 10 years now, because I used to listen to them at work when I used to work nights at Morrison's. That's why I got to listen to The Stone Rose, which is also available in written novel format. But The Stone Rose is such a good story. That's one story I do wish they sort of could have bought into a visual medium. But yeah, The Stone Rose
is... That was my block of wood. Sorry, I just came up with a different goodbye.
Oh, jeez.
What, right, you're going to chuck a piece of wood at the computer?
DVDs just in, it says. DVDs just in. Macro Terror Resolution. What's that then? New Year Begins a Terrifying. Series 11 box set. Enemy of the World Special Edition. So all these DVDs available. Who won? Plus novels, figures, toys, gifts, key rings, bags, purses, goodies galore. Whowon.co.uk. Oh, darn, I've just dropped my dragon's egg. Where the hell did that go? No! I have to get it, otherwise a slug will get it. Ah, got it. There it is. Okay. No, I'll stick it in my mouth later. So that's it. That's it for whowon.co.uk. Next week, we're going to be looking at Kinder.
Which I've never seen.
Yay!
Yeah,
Kinder Surprise! Seen
Now, question. I have a question now that we've gotten to this point about talking about Kinder.
Go on.
Yeah, even though I haven't seen it, I am aware that they redid the special effects. Which should I watch?
The original.
I'm going to watch the original.
Yeah, the original is very iconic.
So the rubbish snake.
What?
The rubbish snake.
You have to. If you haven't seen it before, Kirby, you have to watch the original.
Well, so who cares? Who cares? Watch whatever one you want.
Yeah, just watch it and enjoy.
Yeah. But I would suggest.
Is it good?
No comment.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It's very weird. It's very weird.
If you haven't seen it before, I would suggest watching it in its original broadcast format, and then watching it.
Watching it. Yeah.
Then watching it.
And then,
in its, updated version.
And then you were wondering about, you were saying something about if we've seen things, if we've talked about things before or not. We have talked about Visitation already. We have talked about Black Orchid. But then we're getting, after that, we're going to be getting into, other than Earthshock, which for some reason we haven't done Earthshock.
That surprises me.
Yeah. I've seen Earthshock, obviously, but then we're going to get into three that I have not seen.
Right.
Time Flight, Snake Dance, and Arc of Infinity.
There you go.
Yeah. Ring the bells. He hasn't seen them.
But anyway, next week it's Kinder. So the same time, same place. Well, it won't be the same time. Hopefully it'll be at 7 o'clock, not 7:15. So, yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, thank you for listening, watching, and putting up with the show. I beg your pardon, Debbie, I was just
grouting up. Are you doing the questions or am I doing the questions?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay, well, let me know.
As I've been so successful with you doing the questions, maybe we should stick with that side of the bargain.
Yeah.
All right.
Good with either way.
Mm. Anyway, I've got to turn the telly off. Anyway, thanks for listening, watching, putting up with the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sorry, mustache.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.